Let's stay in South Africa for another story. In the apartheid era, millions of black and mixed-race South Africans were forced out of their homes. They were moved to barren land away from where the white minority lived. Now some families living in Cape Town are worried history is repeating itself, but this time under a democratically elected government. Sarah Birnbaum has our story.
Rose Salagi was one of the first people of color to move into her whites-only neighborhood in Cape Town.
I remember it so clearly. The Minister of Housing at the time said that irrespective of color or creed, you shall not be refused a state house. That was a Wednesday. I couldn't wait for Thursday morning to come.
Thursday morning, Salagi woke up early and went down to the housing office to fill out an application. The staff looked at her like she was nuts.
And when the ladies will ask me now, you know you are a colored, why are you applying for a house here? So I said, who are you to tell me that I cannot rent from a state house when last night the announcement was made that anybody of color can apply? And that is exactly what I'm doing.
This was 1994, the year apartheid fell.
We voted for the first time, April. September, the 1st of September, I moved in here.
Here is in a place called Naruna Estates. Many of the houses, including Salagi's, are owned by the government and rented out to poor families at a very low rent. The neighborhood is orders of magnitude nicer than the townships Salagi was herded into as a child. There are playgrounds and trees, train stations, schools, and supermarkets are close by. But now, Salagi and about 100 other families in Naruna Estates are at risk of being evicted. The government says it has to raise the rent. The families won't be homeless, though, says Provincial Housing Minister Bonga Kosi Madikizela.
Instead of chucking them out the streets, we are saying, look, given your circumstances that you can no longer afford to pay, we are going to give you an alternative accommodation.
That alternative accommodation is on the outskirts of the city, in the areas that black people had to live in before 1994. Madikizela says the government has no choice. Naruna is too expensive to keep up and people haven't been paying the rent.
If you can't pay, if you don't accept alternative accommodation, obviously the last resort is for you to vacate the property. I mean, that's how it is all over.
But what's different here is the government appears to be reverting to an apartheid-era legacy. When Cape Town was built, it was conceived as a whites-only city center surrounded by settlements for black laborers. To this day, most of the poor live in peripheral townships, while the wealthier white minority continues to live in the city center. Naruna Estates was one of the exceptions. Salagi admits she's behind on her rent. Still, for her, this feels like apartheid all over again.
As a person of color, you were removed from places to the outskirts. And in this day and age, they're doing it again. They're just doing it again on a different way.
Madikizela bristles at the comparison.
If you look at the people who are spreading these lies, are people who have failed to pay for years and for months. Now, in order for them not to be evicted, they are now coming up with this narrative and portray us as government as monster.
For now, Salagi is refusing to leave.
I just cannot.
She says the house itself is packed with memories. It symbolizes for her the end of apartheid and the beginning of freedom.
I just cannot just pack up and go.
For The World, Sarah Birnbaum, Cape Town, South Africa.